Thanks for your company today on Women of Hope. Did you know Women of Hope is entirely dependent on donations? Check out our website, www.twraustralia.org. Before the break, I was chatting with Pam and Bill Farrell, two highly entertaining communicators from Southern California, about the thorny issue of male-female differences and how we can understand and work with those differences. It's all very well to know that men can only operate in one box at a time, Pam, but the problem is it often makes them monosyllabic.
One of the key things when I speak at women's conferences, they're like, how do I get my husband to open up? How do I get my son to open up? How do I get my dad to talk to me? A lot of times they just feel like they're doing all the talking, and it's kind of frustrating. They want to be emotionally connected to these wonderful men that are in their life. And so what I tell them is one of the key things is that men love to go to boxes that they feel successful in, and they like to avoid boxes that they don't feel successful in. And so if you really want a guy to open up, you are going to want to go into a box that they feel very successful in. An example of this would be a woman came to me. She was engaged, and she said, I'm really looking forward to getting married to my fiancé, except for, you know, I think he's a little bit emotionally shallow. And I said, really? Why don't you tell me about him? Because I was looking for a box that he felt comfortable in or successful in. And she said, well, he's a race car driver. And I said, all right, here you go. Go into the garage and just repeat that key phrases that he says. Just keep him talking. And what happens when a guy is in a box he feels successful in, he kind of works his way down through the layers, and he'll get to that emotional level that you were looking for. And she's like, okay. And so she goes out to the garage, and he's talking about torquing this and tweaking that and all the parts of the car. And she's just repeating back key things that he's saying to keep him talking. And he pulls out from underneath the car, and he stands up and puts his hand on the car, and he looks at her in the eyes, and he intently says, honey, I am so excited about getting married to you. I just can see us being happily married the rest of our lives. I want to build us a three-bedroom, two-bath house, and I want to put a front porch swing on and sit there and hold your hands and watch sunsets and watch the kids play, and I'm just so thrilled about growing old together. Nobody has ever loved me like this. Nobody has ever cared about me like this. And she told me later, I never wanted to leave the garage again.
The reality for men is that this art of conversation, it's a learned skill for men. That most men, the average man is not real verbal by nature. There are a few really verbal men, but most guys, they don't come by it naturally. They have to learn it.
Yeah, statistics say that we have between 3 and 10 times as many words per day as the average guy.
And so, you know, for those of you who are in the audience that have kids, if you're raising boys, one of the things that needs to be on the goal sheet for your parenting years is help your kids, especially your boys, learn the art of conversation. And having raised 3 boys or in the process of still doing it, that's one of the things that we've had to work hardest at, because they naturally feel inadequate compared to the women in their lives. And so unless they spend time learning how to do it, they just decide they're better at other things. And when you encounter a man who hasn't had that training, you need to understand that he's already insecure about communication. And so he's not anxious to jump in. He already feels like he's way behind the game. And so lots of compliments are good. And Pam's really good at giving advice to women to say, if you want to have a good conversation with your husband, your brother, a son, give them, like, warning ahead of time.
Right, because there's this thing about guys that most women don't understand is that some of those boxes on a man's waffle, they don't really have any words in them. Sometimes they have sounds like, and sometimes they have a little emotion, but some of the boxes even are absolutely positively blank, and guys go into those boxes to recharge. And
right, like you've all seen it. You know, a guy looks like he's sitting there thinking nothing, and so you know, all of you ladies, do you think, okay, sitting there, I got his attention, so you ask the question, what are you thinking? And see, that's a frightening question for us, because in the past we've tried telling you the truth, that we're thinking nothing, and usually the response we get is, well, you can't be thinking nothing, you have to be thinking something. But we were actually thinking absolutely nothing. And so there's this delay that happens while our eyes will kind of start back and forth. We're looking for a box somewhere nearby that's got words in it so we can answer the question. And then the delay gets misunderstood. And you say things like, well, you didn't want to tell me what you were really thinking, so you had to make something else up.
And what they're really thinking was nothing.
Right.
And once women realize that men go to those boxes that have absolutely nothing in it to recharge, then it's good. We can give them a little bit of space. They can recharge. And we can also give them warning if we want to have a serious conversation and we want them to be successful at that conversation, like in the morning before they leave for work or before they leave for school. We can say, tonight when you get home, let's talk about, you know, what college you want to go to. Tonight when you get home, honey, do you think we could talk about our family vacation? Tonight when you get home, do you think we could talk about our retirement years? You know, something significant. You want them to be successful and you want to really hear what's on their heart. Give them a little bit of warning because they can move out of that blank box and they could actually get some opinions and then they can feel very successful in their conversation with you.
You're listening to Women of Hope, and I hope you're enjoying this conversation with Pam and Bill Farrell as much as I am. Bill, in your book, Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti, you mentioned that fathers find the transition from work to home very difficult because of the intensity of the work box and the emotional demands of the home box. What do you mean by that?
The key to understanding the typical man is that he is going to operate in one box at a time. And so when he goes to work, he needs to be able to go to work as much as possible. We often want him to carry his personal life with him. We want him to carry certain tasks, certain phone calls for the family. We want him to take along, you know, all the important details about the kids and what they're doing throughout the week. And all those things become distractions for men. And so men need to be able to feel like, I can go to work, and I can focus on work, and I can get it done.
And when I'm home, then I'll come home and I'll deal with the home stuff.
Right, and men actually have to go through a transition process on the way from work to home. If they don't go through the transition process of moving from the work box to the dad box to the home box, he actually is not very effective when he first gets home. And so he has to go through that transition.
So, like, the best time to talk to your husband about some problem or issue with the kids is not the first 5 minutes he's home.
Right. And then the other thing that everybody would do well to keep in mind with the men in their lives is men cannot process life all the time. If they continually process, they actually run down. And they get to a place where they're not very effective at anything. And so the diversionary boxes, whether it's a blank box where they just sit and do nothing, whether it's an entertainment box where they're either watching TV or they're playing games on the computer, or whether it's an active box like going hunting or going fishing or going and playing sports, those are all boxes that help men recharge.
And when you look at a battery in a recharger, it doesn't look like it's doing anything, but it is. It's recharging. And sometimes when we look at our guys, we're like, are you doing anything? But they are. They're recharging. And once we get that mindset, we realize that, wow, that's good that they're recharging, because then they'll have what it takes to be there for their family and be there at work and accomplish and be successful in life. But if they're always going, then they can't succeed.
And so families need to find a balance where men have enough time to spend in those recharging boxes that they stay energized. But men can't live in the recharger.
Right.
You know, we have to just go there to recharge and then get back into action.
Mm. Sorry, Pam, the other thing you mentioned was how you learnt about Bill's need to finish things when he was doing some building around the house. And he looked at a completed job and there was that absolute pleasure in the fact it was completed.
Exactly. Like when we were building our house, one day I couldn't find him anywhere and I was looking all over for him and I went upstairs. And we were expecting company, and so I thought he was, like, in the shower or something, and I went upstairs, and he's still standing there staring at the closet doors he had put in, you know, 40 minutes before. And I'm like, honey, what you doing? He's like, I'm just staring at them. They're done. They look beautiful. They're done.
And see, because once I leave there, I'm out of the box, and I have to go into something else, and so I just had to prolong the time in the box so something was actually finished.
Especially when they feel good about it and they succeed at it, that's a good time to have the whole family applaud them. You know, that's one of the key things that helps motivate men, is that we actually turn around and say, thanks, Dad, for giving me that $20. Thanks, Dad, for taking us out to dinner. Thanks, Dad, for finishing that project around the home. If we just say thanks, that helps the guy feel successful, and then he'll want to return to that box. And so, like in the area of communication, if they've shared something that's very deep and meaningful with you, whether it's your son, your father, your brother, your husband, if you thank them for, thank you so much for sharing that, I really meant a lot to me, they're more likely to share with you in the future as well.
And on the other hand, if you say something like, wow, is that the best you can do? They're not likely to ever go there again.
Because it leaves you feeling so bad.
Right. Mm-hmm. And men just have this, it's almost like a switch that goes on and off inside of a man. When he feels like he can be successful at something, the switch goes on. He's instantly motivated to do it. But if a guy feels like he can't do it well, or he, no matter how much he tries, it's not going to go well, it's like the switch goes off and there's no interest.
Instead of criticizing, if a woman will compliment, she will probably get the relationship she's looking for.
Bill and Pam Farrell, authors of Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Helen Meyer from CareForce Recovery Ministries. Thank you too to Roz Atkinson and Beth Mortiz Flores for your insights into living with difference. Hopefully Women of Hope has provided food for thought. And if you'd like to share any of your thoughts, how about sending an email to Women of Hope, all one word, at cwciaus.org.au. Or if you have still not worked out the technological intricacies of the net, you can contact us by the conventional means. Our postal address is Post Office Box 115, Punchbowl, New South Wales. 2-